Get In Lifted Season 3 is finally here, and we're celebrating with a giveaway for you, our listeners, where all of you win. You just press play, so I know your podcast app is still open. Before you put your phone back in your pocket, will you please take a minute to write an honest rating and review of the show? Take a screenshot. Email it to me, Kimberly at inlifted.me, before May 1st, and I'll reply with an exclusive invite to a live In Lifted Coaches Workshop hosted by Mark England and myself. P.S. If you're putting your phone back in your pocket, please use an EMF blocking device, just saying. Get control of your words. Get control of your story. Get control of your breath. Get over your fear of not being good enough. Get your dream clients, get them results, and get In Lifted. All right. I'm going to try to keep this show under control today, guys, and ladies, because I have with me today my girl, Stefania Oakes. She is a personal trainer who specializes in cycle syncing. So we're going to get into all the details on this for you guys today, and for you ladies, excuse me, for ladies and men, because it's relevant for both of you, especially if you do work in fitness, or if you are a woman, or if you are in a relationship with a woman, or you work with a lot of women. This is critical information. But Stefania and I, we have a tendency to laugh, to giggle, and to get a little unhinged. So bear with us as we have a lot of fun having this conversation today. So welcome, my girl.
Thank you for such a lovely introduction. And I am so glad you put that disclaimer on there, because the audience needs to know unhinged is the proper word.
Yeah, they do need to know. It's, you know, I got to say, like, people who listen to my podcast often know there's not that much that's like out of bounds for me. Like, I'll say some wild things. But, you know, when we're talking about something that a topic of conversation, the menstrual cycle, women's periods, and there's already a lot of like stigma and shame, or, ooh, I don't want to talk about that, or just slight level of discomfort, I think you will walk out of this conversation today feeling the exact opposite.
Yeah, I really hope so too. That's honestly, I think, the biggest target of this whole conversation. It is wildly unfortunate that there's close to 4 billion women on the earth, and something that we go through monthly, not just like once a year or once every 10 years, literally monthly for close to 25% of our lives is shameful to talk about. I mean, come on, that's so absurd.
Yeah. And not to mention that it's the actual thing that creates life and right, brings more humans onto this planet. In a lot of ways, I could make the argument that this is the most critical piece of women's health, is their reproductive health, and that it is something that men also benefit from, which we'll get into. Right. And listening to this podcast today, we're going to talk through a lot of information here. And whatever your level of awareness is, let's just start at the beginning and assume they know nothing.
Because, yeah, I think so too.
Because before I learned this, like, cycle syncing is the number one life hack for me. Number one biohack, number one life hack, number one happiness hack, number one. Just when I learned this, it changed how I viewed my body and everything that I do in my life.
Yeah. It dictates almost every decision I make as far as like what I'm eating, the order I'm eating it in, when I'm having my coffee. And these are all things that I was doing completely backwards before learning any of this. And so it's really easy to learn. It's very interesting to learn. So I think women, actually, and men, even my boyfriend, have loved really deep diving into this conversation. So I hope that our audience feels the same exact way. Anywhere you want to start us off, Kimberly, I'm ready.
Yeah, let's do it. So, and yeah, and I just like, we're not really taught this. Like, this isn't something that, I don't want any women or men listening to this to feel shame around the fact that you never learned this, or you didn't know it, or this is something that's like brand new to you. I didn't know anything before I started learning it either.
Right. Me too. Yeah, honestly, just about 3 years ago. So I was 27 at the time. I mean, it's like puberty happened when I think I was like 14, 15. And it's like, it took me all of those years and discovering on my own what all of my symptoms actually meant. But you're absolutely right about our cycle is such a vital sign of life. It is finally being recognized as a vital sign of life, just as if your doctor would, you know, do a pulse check or take your blood pressure, or do blood work. Our periods show so much about our health and our wellness. And so it's time to stop ignoring them and time to start embracing.
Yes, absolutely. Okay. So first, before we do anything, what is cycle syncing? Tell me from your perspective, what is cycle syncing and how it relates to the menstrual cycle?
So in my perspective, cycle syncing is optimizing your hormones and paying attention to the phases that you're in and having a one understanding why your body might feel and your mind might feel a little bit different on a weekly basis rather than a daily basis. So recognizing that we have a around 28-day cycle, give or take a few days, add or subtract a couple. Everyone's a little bit different. But just honoring that our body holds a completely different system than this 24-hour cycle that society has adapted us to for waking up, going to work, working out maybe after work or before, maybe a happy hour or dinner, and then bedtime. So even though that's like perfectly suited for a 24-hour, let's repeat this cycle every day, we are not geared to feel the same every day because we have a number of different hormones that fluctuate throughout the month. And so you're not going to feel the same on a daily basis. And if you keep structuring and forcing yourself to try to do the same things every day or the same workouts or the same productivity at work, what you're going to find is you're going to completely exhaust yourself. And so I really think that cycle syncing can be done on a very large scale or a small scale. It's a range, right? It's fluid. But the more you can honor your body, the more you can recognize, give yourself grace, take out any shame for not feeling as productive or not feeling as energetic or not feeling as social, and recognizing, oh, I'm just not in the right phase to do all of those things. And then really strategically try to plan your life around your cycle, knowing when the best time it is going to be to negotiate for a promotion at work, knowing when it's going to be the best time to kind of hunker down and take a weekend to yourself and focus inwards. We can really match up a lot of our lifestyle according to our cycles. And so I think step one is learning what the heck your cycle is, knowing that there are four stages to it, not just two, period and not period. There are four stages. And then start to little by little adapt little pieces of your life that you can change and alter into those phases. So that's what it means to me. Does that make some sense?
Yeah, you nailed it. That's exactly how I see it too. And let's start with the phases and let's talk a little bit first about, just to get this conversation out of the way, birth control.
Right.
What happens there if we're taking birth control? How does this fit? Because, well, I'll let you explain.
Okay. So birth control is interesting and tricky, right? Because in one way, birth control is so empowering. However, if you are on birth control that includes synthetic hormones, you are not actually having a cycle. You are not actually ovulating. Your period is not a real period, and that's okay. You can still cycle sync and still receive some benefits, but I will say you're not having a real cycle. And I don't think that's something that doctors ever told me when I was prescribed to be on birth control. They guaranteed me I was still going to have a period, and you have blood that comes out, but it's not an actual cycle. And so when we're talking about birth control, for those listeners out there, if you are taking birth control still, totally okay. It's still wonderful to learn about your cycle and to incorporate some of this stuff. And by the end of this conversation, if you decide that birth control is really just not for you, like it wasn't for, I think, either of us, then at least you have kind of a better basis understanding of what your cycle is and how you can actually take your health and your ovulation into your own hands and be your own protection against pregnancy until you're ready for it.
Yeah, absolutely agree. And then just on the other side of the spectrum too, what happens when we no longer have a cycle, right? Like, is this something that you can still apply in menopause or once you've, you know, once you've reached that Crohn status, my ladies, right? Like, can you still do cycle syncing?
Yeah, I think so. And again, it's going to be different and it's going to be different for every woman in every phase in their life. But one of my favorite doctors I love to follow, Dr. Stacey Sims, she always says, women are not small men. We're our own, you know, and so often we're treated like, oh, women, you can have 1200 calories a day. Men, you can have 2000. Okay. Well, we're not just smaller versions of a man. We are our own beings, our own systems that they don't have, the systems we have. And so it's kind of time to stop ignoring the differences between the sexes and honor our bodies all throughout stages of life and really understand what, you know, puberty does for us, what we're doing when we're in our optimal fertile phase or stages in life, and then knowing what perimenopause is, menopause is, and how to move forward throughout. So I definitely think this is adaptable to any woman at any point in her life. Yes, she's not going to be ovulating and going through a period, but there's still so many ways you can take care of your hormones even after you're done having a cycle.
Yeah. And even one of the things that I've observed with some of my friends that are in that stage of life is they'll do an aspect of syncing with the moon. So yeah. I'm sure people have heard, you know, if you're listening to this, you probably are a little bit in tune with the woo. And the moon has a similar cycle to women's menstrual cycles in your menstrual cycle may align with the moon phases. That's a whole other thing we could get into. But ultimately, once you stop bleeding, you could still practice the same principles around the moon phases. And then that's a way to still honor that cyclical nature of what it is to be a woman. So what are the stages? Let's break it down. Let's get into it. So where do we start?
All right. So I always like to start at follicular. So follicular is right when your bleed ends. All right. So to me, this is the beginning. This is like the springtime of your cycle. So I like to, when I teach about the phases, I like to attach seasons with it because I think it makes a lot more sense for women to kind of get the order down and understand.
Yeah, absolutely agree. Yeah.
Yeah. So in your follicular phase, okay, let's think about springtime, right? Everyone's stoked that winter is over. We're all excited to get outside and try new things. You've got this newfound energy, right? So actually your hormone levels are still at their lowest, but they're starting to rise. And so this is a really great time when we talk about like lifestyle to try new things. Now, what does that look like when we're talking about fitness? That looks like maybe there's a class you've been wanting to hop in. Maybe, you know, you're at a better primed time to try something new and to give it a shot and be more confident with that. And so you have a lot more energy. Now, this is the phase that I tell people, if you love cardio, this is your phase to do your cardio in. This is the best time for you to do it in. So there's so many different things we can talk about, but let's just start there with follicular. The next phase you go into is ovulatory. And so this is like the phase that you are just shining and glowing from within. You are your best, sexiest self. So this is summertime. So think about hot girl summer, right? This is that hot girl summer phase. When you are ovulating, if you didn't know, this is the time, that small window where you can actually get pregnant. And what I find so fascinating too, Kimberly, is that I speak to so many women who just think they could get pregnant at any time of the month. They're fertile all the time.
Yeah.
And what's so crazy is, I mean, maximum, let's call it, you have a 5-day period where you potentially could get pregnant, but realistically, it's probably closer to a 2-3 day period. And so the fact that us women are being kind of tricked into taking birth control every single day of our lives to basically protect us from 24 days of a fertile window is kind of crazy out of the year.
Yeah.
Well, crazy if you ask me.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah. Okay, perfect. And this actually, all of your hormones are going to be at that peak level. So you actually have a ton of energy. So as far as working out, this is a great time to really hit the gym hard, to try to get some PRs, to try to lift heavy. You can still keep that cardio going. Now, our next phase is going to be luteal. Our luteal phase, you can start to think of as like fall and autumn. And I live in places that don't really have four seasons. So correct me if I'm wrong by any of these, but I like
San Diego girl.
Yes, I live in San Diego and I was raised in Arizona. So I don't know seasons at all. But when I think about fall coming, it almost feels like it's kind of still warm and really nice. And then all of a sudden it gets cold and like leaves start dropping. Right. So our luteal phase, there's actually two mini phases in your luteal phase. There's like the first half and there's the second half. And the big change that happens is that your testosterone really starts to dip in that second half. Now, testosterone is a huge driver of energy. And quick side note, a lot of women don't even know that we have testosterone.
And we do, so but we're not many men.
We're not many
men.
I'm
so cracking up about that.
I know. I love that. We're not many men, but we still have testosterone. That hormone starts to dip, which really will challenge your energy and your sleep and your recovery. So in the first part of your luteal phase, you still have that peak testosterone giving you a lot of energy for the gym and life in general. And then it starts to dip. So now think about like that second half of like fall, kind of getting ready for winter. Leaves are falling and starting to get cold. We're starting to feel maybe some of that like pre-period symptoms, whether you kind of bloat or maybe some acne appears the week before. So think of it as your fall. Now, our last phase, our most probably well-known phase, is our menstrual phase. This often falls villain to our lives, but it does not have to be that way. So our menstrual cycle or our menstrual phase actually is now one of my favorite phases to go through.
Me too.
Because I just feel so, you do. Okay, yeah. Good. I feel so proud every time I go through it. And I'm like, oh, I did it and I'm strong and that felt great. And I'm just moving along and it just makes me feel like such a woman. So
yeah.
I really, that's kind of what people can take away after they start implementing some of the stuff from listening to us today. This is your winter phase. This is time to hunker down. All of your sex hormones are at their all-time low. And so you cannot be hard on yourself that you don't feel like springing out of bed and just like owning the day. This is your time to take some self-care, to reflect inward, maybe to not be as social. I really identify this phase as our winter. So is that kind of
a good overview? Yeah, that's
an
amazing overview because a lot of what we focus on in this podcast is mindset.
Yeah.
And I'll share some of my own experiences and then I would, you know, love to get yours as well, which is that with each one of those different phases, there is an entirely different physical energy, but there is also a very different mental internal dialogue. And before I realized that my cycle was impacting that, I thought that I just went through these ups and downs of being totally crazy and totally motivated and totally like the world is ending and then, oh, like everything's beautiful again. And I really like shamed myself for that. I was like, why can't I be consistent? Why can't I be consistent? Right. That's the thing I kept hearing, or like, why am I so emotional sometimes? Why can't I get it together? And because living in this very like masculine structured world where every single day we go to work for 5 days a week and then we have a couple days off and then we come back and we do it again. And it's like, or when you become an entrepreneur, it's like you work every single day. Right. It's like, it's tough. So what becomes the challenge is like recognizing that our internal dialogue is going to change alongside of our hormones as well. And when I really started paying attention to this, tracking it, logging some of my symptoms, understanding how my cycle was creating that ebb and flow, the number one thing that came through for me was compassion for myself and just overall awareness of like, wow, okay, I can work with my cycle and use it as my superpower rather than having it be the thing that I'm falling victim to. Like, oh man, you know, I'm a wreck right now, whatever. And what I've figured out is that this aspect of cyclical living, it also helped me in all of my relationships, and particularly with men, because men are steady and consistent and they have a 24-hour clock, right? Every single day they wake up, their hormones are the same. They move through and they cycle through in one single day. And we as women have a much longer cycle than that. And so what I started to realize was like, this is a great point to bring the men into the conversation, because like you may notice the women you're in relationship with, whether it's your partner or women you work with or female coaches in the gym that you run, whatever it is, you notice they're not always the same. Oh my God. Oh my God. Yes. They're not always the same. And some days you might say something to them that really is like, okay. And other days it is totally not okay. And how dare you speak to me like that? Or even just noticing their energy level or their willingness to engage in something, or maybe they're not doing as much work. And it's not to say that you need to go around and ask every single woman in your life where they're at in their cycle, because that's, you know, I don't recommend that. But women who are very close to you, it is important that you enter this conversation with them, because what you'll start to notice is that you can respond better to them. And then you can also have a better, more open dialogue around energy levels, mood, appetite, right? Sex drive, all of those things. You're going to start to realize, oh, wow, this is really important for how we relate because we are so different. And when I think about like the, you know, again, in my own life and my own story is like, up and until, I don't know, the last like 2-3 years of my life, I would have never said that my period was my favorite time of the month. Never. Like I would look at it as the time I was limited. I would look at it as the time I couldn't do as much. I would look at it as the time where I was grumpy and moody and would eat bad food and then shame myself for it and go down that doom loop. Now I literally just like, you know, that second half of my luteal phase, I'm preparing to bleed. And I'm like, okay, it's coming. It's coming. Yes, yes, yes. And then when I have my bleed, I am so psychic. I am so internal. I am very creative. I feel like I get the answers to the world and the universe. I am an oracle, like, like whatever, which way you want to say it. I feel so powerful. And it feels like this cleanse and release, and anything that happened in the previous cycle that I want to let go of, or any emotions that are stuck in me, or anything that I just want to get out of my body. I use my bleed as like a ceremony of sorts to let that all out and let it go. And I want every woman to feel that way about it. I want every woman to recognize the power in it and what that actually can do for you. So it's like just changing that story of the bleed being the worst part to the bleed being the best part. Or maybe, I don't know, I really like ovulation too. I mean, come on, who doesn't?
Oh, I know. Well, here's the thing. You fall in love with all the stages because you understand them. So you just feel better. You know, it's like you wouldn't ignore any other part of your health, right? Like if you say, I don't know, had some sort of sleep issue and you just like woke up all night long, that's a symptom, right? So it's like, let's fix the root cause. So it's like, if you're having a bad relationship with your period, that's a symptom. Like, let's fix it. Then you don't have that. Once you solve that, you're going to feel so good and on fire. You're just going to get addicted to cycle syncing, because why not optimize every day? And here's the other thing, Kimberly, people love learning about themselves. I mean, how many times have you taken one of those quizzes that's like, what's your spirit animal? Take this 10 questions to find out, right? Or we follow astrology, or we do numerology, or we go to a psychic. We love learning about ourselves. So the fact that like periods have felt like this secret code that we don't talk about for so long, I am so excited that I think the next generation of women coming up, hopefully they do learn this stuff as they're starting their periods, rather than being retroactive like us, you know, in our 30s, now learning about our bodies, but rather like growing up knowing this stuff. So I think it's going to empower women more than anything.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Let's talk about, okay, I have so many things I want to get into, so I'm just going to like chuck them down the list. And then, you know, however the conversation vibes, we're going to get through it all. So let's start with fitness, because that's your specialty, right? Like you've been working as a personal trainer, working with women, doing, you know, this for a while, long time. So we met through a mastermind last year. And when we first met over a year ago, it was like instant click, because you're like, I want to teach women about their hormones and fitness. And I was like, you're my girl.
And, I already did that.
Here's the thing is I've told this story on this podcast before, some of the other conversations where we've talked about it. Like when I was doing health coaching with women, I was afraid to ask them about their menstrual cycles. I was afraid to even go there in that conversation. And then when I realized how important it was, and as I was going down that path of learning it for myself, I got to this place where I was like, no, I have to ask. I have to have this conversation. It's still really awkward for me, and it's awkward for them. And what I realized was, I was like, well, why is it awkward? Like, I don't, you know, like what's going on here that we as women, one woman to another woman, feel discomfort in this conversation? Yeah. And I realized it's the collective story. It's the society's story. It's all the shame that we've, you know, piled up across our lives from like the time we were in middle school and had to go to the bathroom and get a tampon out of our bag. And some random pimpled faced teenage boy was like, ew, right? Like, and that same pimpled faced boy is just like trying to like get it now. Right. And it's like, the whole thing is,
or maybe you bled through your pants one time at school. I don't know.
That happened to me for sure. Yeah. And just like the shame around it. Yeah. So much. And I just think like, you know, it gets to this point where I realized like, this is a critical piece of me being able to support women, but we've got to get through this story because, I mean, this is wild. So why did you decide to start integrating this in your training, and how was it received by your clients?
Great question. So basically myself included, but every woman I was working with has hormonal issues. And so we were busting it out in the gym. We were doing what we could, but they ultimately weren't seeing the results that they wanted. They weren't feeling better. And it just came to a point where it was like, I couldn't ignore it anymore. It was like something in the universe was like knocking at my door, like, hey, you need to start learning about hormones and teaching your clients about this because it's just not going anywhere and things are all getting worse, right? So it was something that I personally too struggled with. I had terrible periods. I had terrible cramps. I had terrible acne. A lot of it has been related to food. A lot of it has been related to doing improper practices. Just a little background on me. I mean, I think I've kind of tried, as all of us have, tried every diet under the sun, every workout program, every this, every that, right? So it's like, there was a point in my life where I was trying to be vegan, where I was living on coffee until it turned into wine at night, where I was thinking like green juice cleanses were super healthy. And I was doing spin classes every day and looking back, oh my God, I just want to pull all the hairs out of my head. But we've learned. So all of that to say, I think a lot of the women that I was working with were feeling the same type of way. They're like, I run every day. How come I'm putting on weight? How come I'm so stressed out? How come I'm not sleeping? So I was like, you know, I really need to do a deep dive about this. And so I started just reading all the books I could about our cycle, about cycle syncing, about menopause, all of these different topics. And so that it really, like, my clients led me to it, and it has been very well appreciated by my clients. And I will say, I don't know everything and I'm not a doctor. And so oftentimes a lot of our conversation is just me encouraging them like, hey, why don't you go get your levels tested? Why don't you go see, you know, this great nurse practitioner I know, or why don't you think about starting a replacement hormonal therapy that's bioidentical, not synthetic. Big thing there, but we can get into that later. Well, you know, why don't we start digging into this? Like, let's start tracking your cycle. Do you know what your phases are? Okay, today you're coming in, you're bleeding. Well, we're not really going to push you too hard, but we're going to adapt our workout. We're going to keep it low impact. We're going to do lighter weights. We're going to focus on your flexibility and mobility today. So it was actually, honestly, I think it made me a much more valuable trainer.
Absolutely. To the women.
Yeah. And they didn't know they needed it. Right. So yeah. It's kind of like, now I'm that person. I'm the door knocker. Like, hey, actually, you need this. And so just this week, I very bluntly, it's a client I adore, but she's pretty new. So I very bluntly was like, hey, like, what's going on with your cycle? She's like, oh man, I felt all bad. Like, I started eating all the more protein than I should, but it looks like I've gained 4 pounds. And I'm like, all right, chill out. Do not step on that scale again until you finish your bleed. Okay. this is the phase we're in, right? You're maybe a little more bloaty. She's like, I'm already feeling crampy. I'm like, all right, we're going to redirect. I need you to eat these foods this week. Let me know when you start your bleed. We're going to do X, Y, and Z. So it's like really nice to create these custom plans for the clients and feel like they too are actually learning about their bodies.
Yeah, totally. And I think too, a lot of this is like, to go back to the symptoms that women are experiencing, they can't lose the weight, or they're gaining weight, or they can't gain the muscle, or they're losing the muscle, or they're consistently fatigued and they're burnt out and they're exhausted. And this happened to me. I lost my period for 3 months when I was like biking 10 miles a day to and from work, like 5 miles each way. I was teaching classes at Row House. I was up, but like my circadian rhythm was fucked. Like, it was just like, I was up super early, like many fitness coaches are, doing split sessions in the day, working the evening shift, going home, and hardly eating any food. And I joke about this, and it's like hysterical. You're going to love this story. So one day I was in a full moon circle or a new moon circle or something with one of my girlfriends, and she guides us through this meditation. And I'm sitting there like in my bathrobe, cozy in my bed. I probably had a little cannabis or something. And I'm literally like sitting there. She guides us through this meditation, and I'm at like month two of no bleed. And I'm the lowest weight I'd ever been. And I just was like, I know this is a problem, but I don't know exactly why it's a problem. And I sit there and I'm going through the meditation. And the only thing I heard come through was eat steak. And I start cracking up because I'm like, eat steak. Like, what? Like, what does this mean? And then when I come out of the meditation, I'm literally like, I'm laughing so hard because I'm like, oh my God, I am underfueled. I am undernourished. I'm not bleeding because I need to eat more steak. So I immediately go and like order a butcher box and like have it shipped to me, start eating all the steak, start eating so much more food. And then the next month I bleed. And I'm like, thank God. But it was like, it was, you know, it's a funny story. I tell the girl who's leading the circle, I'm literally like, when they come out of the meditation, everyone's sharing their insights and all these women are saying these deep heartfelt things. And I'm like, the message I got was eat steak. And like, everyone cracks up.
Okay, but you know what? That is so real, Kimberly. And when I decided I needed to eat meat again, I felt no energy. I felt depleted. And honestly, I'm sure you can relate to this, but being a fitness instructor is actually a major mindfuck because you're not being healthy. You're working out with your classes. It's impossible not to. So you're working out with your classes, maybe 5 hours a day. That's exhausting. That is not okay. Not even Olympic athletes work out that much. Okay. And then you're being complimented on how great you look all the time and how low your body fat is. So then you're like, well, I cannot stop doing this because now I've gotten myself in this habit. But all of that to say, I was in that phase too. I was teaching so many, I was teaching probably 30 classes a week.
Oh my
and
gosh.
My body told me I wanted a burger. And so I do think steak and meat in general is very powerful. And when you are in tune with your body, or even when I wasn't in tune with my body, it was still shouting that message at me, like, you've got to get some red meat in your system.
Yeah. And it's not to alienate all the vegans or anything, but there is a trend that I'm noticing. So I'm 33, I'm almost 34. I'm looking around at my friends that are the same age or a few years ahead or a few years behind, and I'm watching their journeys with fertility. And
right.
I would like to have a child, and I'm still working on finding said baby daddy. But you know what? Like, I'm very much paying attention to my fertility, because I want to make sure that when that happens, and 2-3 years down the line, when I'm ready and desiring to have a baby and to get pregnant, that I will be able to.
Right.
And I'm watching women around me really struggle with this. And because of my knowledge around fitness and food and nutrition, you know, I'm not telling them that I'm doing this, but I'm cataloging in my own head the correlations between their diet, their exercise habits, and how easy or not easy it is for them to get pregnant. Now, that's not the only factors
right.
in that, of course, but it's something that I'm noticing. And certain other things as it relates to, which we haven't even gotten into, but both of us are super passionate about, beauty products and the poisons right. and the toxins in our environments that are impacting our cycles. You know, I'm correlating and looking at their lifestyles with no judgment, but just from a place of, these are women that I know closely and that share their stories with me. And when I look and I see what I'm noticing is that women who have had eating disorders, who have really struggled to eat nutritious meals, who are over-exercising, who are high stress jobs, they're the ones who are really struggling to get pregnant. So what does that tell me? It tells me that those are big factors in that journey. And so yeah. we can look at this too from our relationships with our mothers and our grandmothers, and we can see like any information we can gather from them about this, but like what they're, you know, but when we look back and we go back 2 generations, what were they eating? What were the women doing for exercise? How has this society now completely changed what right. is expected of women, right? Like, one of my grandmothers worked, the other one didn't. And if I go back 1 generation past that, none of the women were working. And not right. to make, not to get into any, like, I'm not trying to like, you know, I like, I'm not trying to cause any, it's observing the information and seeing what's happening. And I definitely feel like we as women and as men, to continue to include men in this conversation, there are a lot of things at play in which we want to consider, we want to observe in this conversation that go far beyond the workout that we're going to do today, whatever I'm going to make for dinner, should I have coffee first thing in the morning or not? Like, this is big picture, zoom out about your quality of life and the long haul quality of your life. But then also, because, you know, my grandmother, one of my grandmothers who had a hysterectomy, she had, I mean, she lived into her 90s, but she was so frail. And why? Because she's losing all of the female reproductive hormones, never had any hormone replacement. And you could see how that impacted her in her 70s, 80s, and into her early 90s, like her strength and her ability. And so I'm looking at all this stuff and I'm just thinking about always bringing it back to being the most human, which is that, like, I just want to feel good. I want to live a healthy life. I want to have good relationships. If I decide I want to be a mother, I want to have that available to me, right? Like, yeah. I don't want to feel limited by choices that I made out of in the moment or out of lack of education, quite honestly, right? Which was, yeah. you know, the birth control conversation.
Let me interject here really quick. Even if you don't want to be a mother, having your body at its most fertile self is your healthiest self.
Yes.
Regardless.
Yes.
If you are a biological woman, you want to be fertile because that means every other system in your body is working properly. And just as you mentioned, just that quick example of your grandmother with the hysterectomy. Yes. By taking all of those reproductive organs out, she has less hormones going through her body. And honestly, we need all of our sex hormones for everything else to work in our body. So she yeah. probably lost bone density. She probably yep. lost muscle. Mm-hmm. What's the number one cause of death for people after 60? Falling and breaking a bone and they can't recover. So they yep. die.
Like, and that's what happened with her. She made it to 90 something, but yeah, like it's true. Yeah. And yeah. I do really think, like, when it comes back to, right, like this conversation of like just being your most fertile self, again, including the men in the conversation, men are really struggling with their sex hormones as well. We can do a whole other different conversation about how this information relates to men's hormonal cycles. But one of the things I didn't really fully understand this at first, like, but then I heard it and I was like, of course, that makes perfect sense. Okay, when you're ovulating, right? What does that do? You are in your hot girl summer. You're feeling amazing. You're most fertile. What does that signal to men? It signals to men, she's fertile, right? Which evokes in them the desire to want to mate. We're animals, guys. Like, it's not that complicated. So when men are around women who regularly ovulate, it boosts their testosterone. Why? Because they're attracted to these women and they want that like juicy goodness that is a fertile woman. So men who are around women who are on birth control, who do not ovulate, it's impacting their hormonal cycles as well. Now, that's not even to say about how it's impacting them through our environment too, right? That's just purely through the biological structures that we have in place. So right. When men think about, like, I joked about this and I literally said to all the men that are around me all the time, like my team and my friends, I was like, you guys are welcome. I'm ovulating. Like, you're welcome. Like,
you enjoy that boost of testosterone. Exactly. More. That was free.
Exactly. And like, I just joke and it's like, but it's true. It also impacts our mate selection, right? When you're on birth control, there's there's like just so many things that are intertwined in this conversation. And, you know, like, I don't even know where I want to go from here because I'm getting on a passionate rant and I'm going to.
No. Well, I have one more thing to add in when we can kind of get more structured. But one thing that I learned about birth control that blew my mind was that when you're on birth control, it alters your brain and in some ways permanently. But when you're on birth control, it actually basically fuzzes over your receptor to be attracted to the pheromones that you naturally be attracted to. And so for women who are on birth control, they might not have the clarity on who they're attracted to, and they might pick the wrong mate because they're actually, that part of their brain is like a little fuzzed out. And so it was really funny when I got off birth control, I told my boyfriend, I was like, well, I think you still smell good, so I guess you're still the right one.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. That's wild that birth control is not just, quote, covering a symptom or, you know, making sure we're not getting pregnant or we're not having a period or whatever, but it's actually altering so much of our nervous system that, I'm sorry, has any primary care doctor sat you down and told you that?
Yeah. I mean, I can share my story of like getting on and off of it, which was very quick. And like my experience was like, I didn't start, my first experience with birth control was with an IUD, which was I mean this, I'm so serious about this. The insertion of that IUD was the most physically traumatic thing I've ever experienced in my life.
Wow.
And when the whole thing was said and done, I was like, what the fuck did I just do? And for about 2 weeks, I had this IUD in. I could feel it. I was still bleeding. My mood was completely numb. And mind you, I was 26-ish. So I had a solid, and I started my menstrual cycle when I was 11. So 15 years of menstruation under my belt, understanding a regular, normal cycle. I have an IUD put in for, it literally only lasted 2 weeks because I could feel how wrong it was in my body. I could tell how much it had impacted my mood. I could tell how much it had impacted my just general like body feeling. I could feel it sitting, and the doctor's like, you shouldn't be able to feel it. I'm like, I can freaking feel this thing. I'm telling you, I can feel it. Like, so I go back and I have them remove it and they're like, oh, I wouldn't give up on it yet. Like, you should wait a year. I was like, excuse me, pull this thing out of me right now. Like, first of all, like, you know what happened to me when you put it in? I've been living with this for 2 weeks. I want it gone. And the doctor's like, okay, right? Like, no big deal. And she's like, well, from there, she's like, well, do you still want contraception? And I'm like, like, I was just like, okay, like, yeah, I'll take a pill. That seems like fine. I only make it on that for 3 months, 6 months, if that. I don't exactly recall because, again, same symptoms. Like, I could tell how different my bleed was. I could tell the mood was a problem. Like, I couldn't get high. I didn't have the highs and lows in a good way or a bad way. And I literally was just like, this is not for me. But because I waited until I was in my 20s to do that, I understood, I had a strong baseline of my experience first. And so I was like, from there on out, I was like, this is something I would never do. But from the perspective of education, I thought that I had done my research. I had asked my fellow female friends about their experience, what they liked, what they didn't like, what they recommended, right? I looked and read things online. I had the conversation with the doctor beforehand, which, mind you, was only 3 minutes. Like, it wasn't like a real, like, that's not a real conversation. And so I was like, by the time I was done with that, I'll call it 6 months of my life, if it was even that, I was like, this is something that I feel so passionate about, that women, I can't believe women are going through this experience, and that we're uneducated, we're unsupported in it, that we have pressure from men to do this thing, which, yes, it's for the benefit of both of us, but really, who's it benefiting? And then the thing is like, at the end of the day, like, I literally went on a rampage after that. And I went to every single one of my girlfriends. I was like, get your IUD out, get off the pill. Like, just rampage. I know.
Rampage. Well, I will say, when you know what we know, it's impossible to ignore it. And I felt very similar, you know, wanting to shout from the rooftops and text everyone I know about, like, get off your birth control or change about your life. And some people are ready to hear it, you know, like, they'll come to you, they really will. But yeah, it is one of those things that I think once you learn this stuff, you can never unlearn it. You can never not know it again. And you cannot ignore it. So
And once you tap into how powerful it makes you feel and how much more in tune with your body it makes you feel, it's like, wow, this is awesome. And yeah, and it's like, even, okay, so let's get into, this is the one thing I was going to say when we started talking about fitness. And then, of course, I told you guys, Unhinged, it was going to go there. Like, it's cool.
Yeah, we're good.
So let's talk specifically about in the gym. Let's talk about the different phases of our cycle and how we should consider how should we plan our workouts? How should we consider a program? If you're a male trainer programming for women, what should you consider, right? If you are a woman who likes to do her own program or wants to, like me, I love ClassPass. I'm a ClassPass junkie. Like, I go to different workouts. I still cycle sync, right?
Yeah.
And so how do you plan for that? Or how do you consider that?
So I'm going to kind of do like a general overview, and then I'm going to give you like my take on what I think is the best to prioritize in the gym. So for one, when we're talking about follicular phase, it's that springtime. So you're going to have this kind of new era of energy. It's a great time to try new stuff. So like I said, if you want to try classes. So Kimberly, you like doing ClassPass, this might be a time to try a Barry's Bootcamp, to go back to Row House, to do something a little bit more intense and high energy, kind of jumping around, a little bit more cardio, right? And then as you move into your ovulation phase, you are feeling like your most powerful, strong women. You're feeling hot, you're feeling sexy. So what do you like to do the best? I mean, if that's a bar class for you, do it. If that's lifting really heavy and hitting it hard with your deadlifts that week, awesome, keep it up. And then as you move more into your cycle, so we're going into the luteal phase, like I said, that first part of the phase, you still got some good energy, you still got that testosterone flowing. That is a great time to really hone in on your strength training. And then as that second part of the luteal phase starts to occur, you are going to have less energy. So take it a little easier, maybe just opt in for Pilates or yoga, kind of tone it down a little bit. And then as you move into your menstrual phase, now this is truly a time of hibernation and rest. I used to be one of those women that was like, oh, I'm on my period. Awesome. I'm going to go run 5 miles and then I'm not going to cramp anymore. And it's going to feel so good. And it's like, what I didn't realize I was doing during that phase is you're actually putting your body into a stress response. And so we've all heard of fight or flight mode, right? So you're either rest and digest or you're fight and flight. So when you're stressing yourself out, when your body's telling you, hey, I'm losing a ton of minerals, I'm super low on hormones and energy, now is not the time to go and do intense cardio or HIIT classes or boot camps. And you go and do that. Well, now you're putting yourself into that stress state. Your cortisol is rising. And actually what you're doing is you're backfiring on yourself and you're putting yourself into a fat storage mode. And so this is why oftentimes when women are ignoring their hormonal cyclical nature, they're not seeing the results that they want. Now, what I will tell you as a personal trainer and strength coach, I love prioritizing muscle. After teaching all those classes for all those years, cardio is really not my favorite thing to do anymore. I have gotten completely burnt out on spin classes. So I prioritize my cardio as walking. Now, that might not be forever. It's the phase I'm in right now. When I try to walk as much as I can every weekend, I like to do like one time on Saturday and Sunday on each day, I like to do a 1 hour long walk. Now, when I'm menstruating, I don't go to the gym. I stretch, I walk, I might go to the gym and hit the sauna and like shower, but like, I'm not really lifting weights because I know I'm going to be lowest on my energy. I know it's not going to feel good. I don't want to stress my body out. I'm trying to keep my body at a really regulated nervous system, keeping myself calm. So what I like to tell people is just alter how your life works for you. For me, I'm really not into cardio right now, but I will walk more during that first follicular phase. I'll walk, you know, slow walks during my menstrual phase. As I'm going into follicular through luteal, I'll strength train the best I can. But when I get to the end of the luteal phase, I'm not going to stress myself out being like, oh my gosh, I was totally hip thrusting 360 last week. Why can I only do 145 today? You know? So it's kind of just taking a step back, recognizing where you're at and then how to move forward. Now, I do think it's always optimal for women to try to be putting muscle on our bodies. And so just keeping that in the back of your mind too. But was there any specific questions you had in regards to like doing one thing or another or not doing it at a certain time?
I think that's a great overview. And again, I am with you. It's so different for every woman, like for every person. It's, you know, like I put myself back into the days where I was doing Olympic weightlifting and CrossFit and how I would just show up at any stage of my cycle and like, just be like, oh yeah, today's the day. Like I can just hit my one rep max snatch or like my clean and jerk and like, cool. And notice that like, it's obvious when you're going through a linear program, at some point you have the, like, as a woman, it's just, you can't be as linear as you want it to be. It has right. to have some room for your cycle and for your bleed, you know? And it's like, if you're competing at a very high level, this is harder to do. If you're a general exerciser, like, which is 99.99999% of us, this is really easy to implement. And one of the things I want to like bring it back to is that mindset component and the patience, right? Because again, we're not small men. So we need to look at our fitness and movements across many months to see progress in exactly how we want to see, right? So the first progress marker that I think about and look for is like, am I in that more regulated nervous system state consistently throughout the month? Even if it means that I'm doing less in the gym, or even if it means I'm eating more food, or even if it means that I'm really hibernating at home, like, am I still generally like in that even keeled, happy, healthy feeling vibe? And then like noticing too, like we were joking about this, the post that I put up the other day, which was that like, I had two options. Like option one, like I knew I'm about to bleed. I noticed negative thought patterns. I noticed really low energy. So I could sit and like, let myself go into a doom loop spiral and shame myself about why I canceled my workout and why I was deciding to eat sourdough pancakes for breakfast. Or I could make the pancakes, take it slow, go for a walk, and then book a sauna session, which I did. I took option two.
Awesome.
And added protein with my pancakes. And
love it.
This is the funny story of like, now this is just girl talk. So a guy that is trying to date me, a man that is trying to date me.
Does he listen to the podcast?
Who knows? Sorry, sir, if you do, but this is good education for you.
You're welcome.
He responds to that message with, now this is again, bringing men into the conversation. He responds to that message with, where's my invite for breakfast? Sir, wrong answer. Wrong answer. Okay. Because
where was my invite for breakfast? I was the one who needed it.
Exactly. Where was the, hey babe, gonna send food to your house for lunch? I know you're low energy, right? Or like, hey, can I come over later and rub your feet? Like, sir, no, no, I'm not taking care of you when I'm taking care of myself. So this is the thing, men, right? If women are snapping at you because you're saying something or because you are not considerate of where we're at in our cycle or how to nurture us or support us, or even to just give us the space that we need, I guarantee you that if you start, just take this in your intimate relationships. If you start having the conversation about cycle syncing with your female partner or your male partner, if you're a woman, and you start to make that a joint conversation, a lot of really good things are going to happen, which is one, when you are in your more spring and summer phases, your man's going to have a lot more fun with you because you're going to have a lot more fun with yourself. You're going to be like, oh yeah, this is great. And when you start coming down the other side of that hill, right? That's where he can start to nurture you more, take some things off your plate, help you out, do some of the man tasks, right? And not in a way of that, and give you space, because I don't know about you, I need some space. Like at that period of time, I need to be in my own energy and not take it personally, right? and women receive in that stand in that state too. Like, let them do it for you. Let them carry the heavy shit.
We are all so like, go, 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 do, do, do. And I think a lot of women nowadays, and I myself, take pride on being an independent woman and being able to do all these things, right? But I think you reach a point too, you're like, wait, I don't have to make life harder on myself though. And so I love when I'm in like luteal through menstrual, taking a sit back, letting Sam handle the dishes or let him figure out the grocery store, let him run an errand without me. And it just feels nice to receive and to kind of baby myself and let him do it.
And men love doing that stuff. Like it makes them feel good and feel needed and feel valuable. And like, especially if their love language is act of service, like, hello, gold mine.
Right. Allow them to do that for you.
Yeah, absolutely.
There's other places where we're going to feel like the ones springing out of bed and doing everything for them.
Exactly. Exactly. And I think it really just, it helps to make this a conversation between women and men. And even outside of your intimate relationships, right? Like, I work with a team of men and I am the woman on the team. And so through noticing my own, how this applies in your work life, right? Like how you could plan this in your day, in your social life. It's like just noticing like when you're going to be a little more extroverted, when you have a little more energy to do projects, or maybe a really great time for you to give the speech or the presentation or to do the podcast or, you know, to do your photo shoot, follicular and ovulation, baby, like prime. Prime.
Exactly. Get it when you're glowing.
Exactly. And like, if you know, and sometimes this happens for me, it's like, I can't schedule things how I want to necessarily, like big events or like focal point events. But then what I really do is I'm like, all right, we'll strip everything else off my calendar. Everything else.
Yeah.
Like today, for example, like I'm probably going to start bleeding today or tomorrow. The only thing I'm doing is this podcast.
Yeah.
It's the only thing I'm doing. Because why? Because one, it's a great fun conversation with one of my girls. Two, it's like, it's relevant, it's timely, but I wouldn't necessarily then try to pack my calendar with so many other things. I'm not going to have the energy for it. And then what's going to happen? I'm going to shame myself for not getting the work done.
Right. And you're not going to feel good.
Yeah. And I do feel good today, right? I'm not like falling victim to my cycle. I'm like, no, I feel great. But
yeah,
I want to stay feeling great.
Now when I'm on, you know, my menstrual phase, I'm like, oh my gosh, permission to nap today.
Yeah.
Permission to the gym. Like, this is great. And I feel just as good. And I think that because we are mainly, you know, in a man's world where we have a 24-hour day where we're going to work every day at the same time, doing all those things on a 24-hour cycle, on their hormonal cycle, right? We do feel bad when we can't peak perform at all times of the month. But we just really need to understand that that is so unrealistic. It's not going to happen for us. And that's the same in the gym. You are not going to get PRs every single day you're in the gym. You might want to really structure like, okay, if I have a goal of getting, you know, 3 pull-ups, like the best time for you to really hone in and practice that is going to be those first 2.5 phases of your cycle. Maybe don't even try doing your pull-ups on your menstrual phase. You're not feeling at your optimal strength. And instead of feeling bad about not being able to be as productive, don't shame yourself for it. Just honor it. Rest during this time.
Yeah, absolutely agree. Yeah, this is, I mean it. This is like the best life hack that I ever learned. And it's, you know, I want more women to know it. I want more men to know it. I want men to be able to support women in it. I want women to feel comfortable having the conversations with men. Right. And like, we were joking the other day about how you were walking in the gym and the story about when the guy's like, oh, what are you doing today?
Yeah. So I was at the gym and I was just stretching and I just joined the gym I used to work at, but I hadn't been around for about like 4 years. And so I'm seeing a lot of my old contacts and, you know, they've all followed me on Instagram. I'm starting to post about periods and things like that. So my buddy goes, oh, what are you doing in the gym today? I'm like, oh, I'm on my period. So I'm just doing some nice light stretching and then I'll hit the sauna and like shower and put my tallow all over my body and then head out of here. And his eyes were like popping out of his head. He's like repulsed. He's like, oh, I can't believe you just told me you're on your period, like TMI. And I was like, oh, okay, 40-year-old man. Like, I thought that you knew women had periods by now. Like, have you not?
Yeah.
Have you not seen that part?
Yeah.
But I do want it to become so normalized, like how we now think about, you and I are thinking about our cycles and openly talking about them and letting people know. I mean, that's amazing. That's the dream. And I think that our world today is so hyper-focused on wellness and so hyper-focused on biohacking, right? everyone's talking about sauna and cold plunges and what supplements to take. And, oh, do you do IVs and ozone therapy and stem cell therapy and bioidentical hormones? There's all these ways that we can biohack and optimize our body and our performance. The most natural and easy place to start is cycle syncing.
Yeah.
And it's going to make one of the biggest differences. I'm telling you what, if you are not honoring your cycle and you're doing all those other things, you might not feel any different.
Yeah. Okay. I just got to bring this one in there. Cold plunging.
Okay. Let's talk about it.
Ladies, can we cold plunge every day of the month? Yes or no?
I don't think so.
I don't think so either. Just based on my own experience.
Right. Right. Me too. I have not conducted like proper research on this, right? But I will tell you, it depends, right? So the answer to all of our cycle stuff is usually not. You usually cannot do the same intensity of stuff all throughout your cycle. So like we're saying, when you've got that higher energy, when you've got more hormones, it's probably best to do the cold plunging the first two phases of your cycle. Now, another part, a big part of the hormone puzzle for me is that I started seeing an acupuncturist, which was something I knew nothing about. And I have learned a lot from my acupuncturist. My acupuncturist is actually, she was a nurse for 20 years, learned about acupuncture, thought it was kind of wild and crazy. Then she started getting treated by acupuncture, cured her allergies. So she was like, I have to go become an acupuncturist now. So I love her because she's got such this great balance of the Western and Eastern medicine. She's very understanding of both schools of thoughts. Actually, something that she has taught me is that in ancient Chinese medicine, you don't use cold for anything. And that was one of the things I learned about like this, you know, taking care of your hormones. I was waking up having ice cold water. Then I was drinking ice cold coffee. And then I wasn't eating until like noon. And I love sushi and salads and poke, like all these cold foods. I was doing cold, 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 everything. And she was like, you got to stop. Like you are damaging your gut lining. You're not digesting things. You're not absorbing nutrients properly. We need to shift your mornings to be warm. And she taught me that our gut is like a bonfire. And when you keep putting ice cold things in it, it's like throwing wet towels on your bonfire. So you're really like depleting the optimal bonfire that's going on inside of you. I think the same with cold plunging, right? So yes, there are benefits. Yes, people do it and they feel great and there's mental benefits, but maybe just not all times of the month are going to be optimal for you. And that's okay.
Yeah. And I think this is like a critical piece of like what we both said was like from our own experience, which means go test it for yourself, right? Like our bodies are incredibly resilient. You doing a cold plunge a couple times, like in your luteal phase or while you're bleeding is not going to wreck your life, right? Go test it and try it and like take these observations of this entire discussion and apply it in your life and see what's true for you. Because again, every woman is slightly different. And what works for me and what works for Stefania may not be the thing that works exactly for you. And you know, it's like something that I feel like I just want to put the power back into women's hands to say, like, I can really make the decisions of what's best for my body, permission to say, hey, you know what? I don't have the energy for that today, you know, or like, hey, you know what? Like, I don't want to go do that thing. Like, I want to sit by myself and meditate and I want to draw and I want to color and I want to write and I don't need to tell anybody, right? Okay. I have two things that I want. We've been talking for an hour, but I want to keep going because I have two things I think are critical to have in this conversation. So the first one is period products. Okay.
Oh my gosh.
So yeah, exactly. So I don't know about you, growing up, it was like, my mom was like, you can't use tampons. You're too young. And so like, I would wear pads. I hated them. Then it was like the soonest I could get her to let me use tampons. I was like, tampons, 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 only tampons. And literally like tried to ignore that I was bleeding by having this thing inside of me. And then it was like, oh, this is maybe not so great. Like, there's chemicals on these. So maybe let me try a disc or a cup. Hated it.
Right.
And then there's like all these different options. Now, what I've found and what I've experienced is that almost all of those products are extremely toxic for us.
Right. They are.
So give me your take.
So what do we do?
What do we do?
All right. So just like, I guess, real quick background, right? Our skin is very absorbent. We're no stranger to that. We know this. We know our skin absorbs stuff and it ends up in our bloodstream. So the fact that our vaginas are such a sensitive and sacred area, that skin, that internal skin is also very absorbent. And so when we are putting bleached cotton and stuffing it up our vaginas,
it's probably not even all cotton. It can't be all cotton.
It can't be all cotton. I don't even know what else is in it, but it's not okay. It's not okay. And actually, This is proven. I could probably find a study for you, but I know I've read this multiple places. Women's periods and their symptoms are actually much worse when they're using like non-organic cotton or the proper products that work for them. So there's also like a woo-woo school of thought that your flow, right, is supposed to flow out of you. So by pushing a plug up there, right, and keeping that period blood and storing that old energy up in your vagina, that's actually also another, you know, reason why you might be cramping so much. And it is really difficult, especially as someone in fitness. I don't want to go to work with a pad on wearing leggings. Like, it's just, that's not going to happen for me. I wore one, my only pad I've ever worn was my very first period. Very similarly to you, Kimberly. I was like, nope, I am not doing that. We are using tampons. I've always been a tampon user. I got my period at 15. So I was actually pretty late. So there was no like, oh, you're too young to try that. It's funny. My mom was like very open to it. But once you start in fitness, I think, and you're starting to pay attention to what you eat, you're like, oh, organic foods. Like, I have to have organic foods. And then you kind of start thinking about like, oh, like maybe I should have like organic pillowcases and like bed sheets, right? Then you start thinking about all of the products in your house, right? So those period products are so important because they are so closely knit and touching us at all times. It's not just like having a candle in your house that like, oh yeah, there's fumes in it, there's chemicals, but like whatever, like it's only on like 1 hour a day. This is like touching you at all times. And so what I have resorted to, because I've also tried the cups and the discs, and sometimes they work and sometimes you bleed through your leggings and it's not okay. So I at least choose organic tampons. So that's what I do now. I try to give myself the nights off. So I don't put tampons in at night, and I actually use absorbent organic cotton underwear that is like reusable, washable. And that's how I try to honor my flow at night. For me in my career, it just doesn't work to wear a pad. But I think that if it would work for other women, that's probably like the best thing you can do, is wear an organic cotton pad during, you know, your entire cycle. But what are your thoughts on that?
Very similar. Like, I've gotten to the point where I just can't put anything inside of me while I'm bleeding. I don't want to.
I don't want to either, just to be clear.
No, I feel you, girl. I feel you. And again, it's like, this is the things that like, where it's like having these conversations is really helpful, because it's like, also like, I am not a purist of like follow the rules every single time. Like, there's certain occasions and things in which you can't, like, you have to be flexible and resilient to the scenario and the situation. And like, you don't need to be perfect at everything.
Right.
In my best case scenario, I have organic cotton period panties. I have like a boxer version. I have a like bikini / brief version. I have a thong version. And that will pretty much get me through most of the days of my bleed. And overnight, I like the boxer version. Or if there's, okay, free bleeding. This is amazing. Okay. Like, it's weird at first, but it's amazing, because what happens is like, you actually get to feel all of that come out. So there's a thing called a splash blanket, which is multi-purpose, but it works incredibly well. Oh, I'll send you the links, girl.
Cool.
So multi-purpose in that it is great for intimate time. It is great for like babies who are making a mess, or dogs and things that are making a mess. And it's also great for free bleeding. So one of the things that I've noticed is that like on the heaviest days of my cycle, like really all I want to do is just like sit on the couch and relax. And so if I allow myself to free bleed, I feel great. Things I haven't tried, but plenty of my hippie friends have recommended or I've seen, is like free bleeding into nature, which... This is why, okay, this is like random. Like, I have a trip in the end of March to go to El Salvador. And I literally, the house we're staying in it's a beachfront villa. And of course, the first thing I do is I'm like, okay, we're going on the trip. Where am I at in my cycle? And I notice, I'm like, of course, smack dab in the middle of the trip, I'm going to be bleeding. And so I was like, all right, shit, but that's okay. So I literally was like, I'm going to go out and I'm going to free bleed into the ocean.
Do it.
And like, you know, and then somebody's like, what about sharks? I'm like, such a man thing to say.
I know. You're going to be fine.
But honestly, yeah, it's like that. That's the take. And I have gotten to this place where it's like, it has taken a lot of presence with my bleed, a lot of trial and error with different products, different ways to test and try. And don't be so afraid of blood. You know, like, it's okay. It's okay if it gets on your sheets. It's okay if it gets on your couch. What I will recommend is, because the next part I was going to go to is non-toxic products, which you already started to touch on. Branch Basics. I have a white couch, people. And as I just mentioned, sometimes I like to sit there and just
bleed all over it.
Not bleed onto the couch, but like, you know, if it, something happens, it's fine. Branch Basics is the best non-toxic household cleaner and that gets blood out of anything, honestly. So I was impressed. I thought for sure that I was going to have this massive, I thought I was going to be stuck with a red stain on the white couch.
We're going to have to get some covers for this one.
Yeah, exactly. But it worked out. So yeah, let's talk about products and then we'll just wrap it up from there, which is that how are most beauty products, and when I say beauty products, I mean like skincare, hair care, soaps, shampoos, I don't even know because I don't use any of this stuff anymore. Deodorant, detergent, cleaning products.
Water bottles that we're using.
Oh my God. Yeah. Like, oh man. The whole world.
You really want to try to shift as many products as you're using and in no rush to non-toxic. So what I started doing, I started this years ago and actually I started with makeup. Even before I knew what the four phases of my cycle were, I just started learning about our skin absorption. And this is kind of going along with like, I started, you know, buying organic foods and thinking about things like that. So I started using non-toxic makeup. It was a really easy switch. There's tons of great products on the market now. So that was like the first thing I dialed in and changed about my life. And then you start learning more and more and more. So all of these things with all these toxic chemicals are endocrine disruptors, meaning that they are going to affect your cycle. They are going to cause disruption in your hormones. They are going to lower your levels. They are going to cause stress in your body. Now, if you just try to run through how many products you use in a day, my goodness, it's like we wake up, right? It's like if you go and you brush your teeth first, okay, toothpaste, floss. Are you using toothpaste and floss that have chemicals in them that when you floss, you're now creating cuts in your gums? And now that those chemicals are being absorbed right into your bloodstream. I mean, yeah, crazy.
It's wild.
You kind of have to watch out for yourself and making sure that every single product you use throughout the day, then all of your skincare stuff. I mean, most women have like 20 different steps that they do for their face or different body lotions. Then are you using
fragrance? Oh my God. We didn't talk about fragrance either.
Fragrance. Shaving creams, if you actually accidentally nick yourself, what soap is coming in on you, body wash, shampoo, you know, conditioner. I mean, we can go on and on talking about every single product you're
gonna- mousse, gel.
Right. So what I actually started doing in my life is I downloaded this app and it's called Yucca. And I'm sure there's plenty of different apps out there for this, but I really like Yucca. I think it's a couple bucks a month. I can't really remember at the moment. But all you do is you would take a product like this is some blush I have. The QR codes on the back, you can actually just scan the QR code to any product and it'll come up and it'll give you a list of the things that are great in it. It'll give you a list of the chemicals that are really bad that are banned and it'll give you a score on the top. So let's say this score came up to be like 95 out of 100. Awesome. I know I'm doing a good job. This is pretty good. There might be a couple things off, whatever. I will say there's rarely products that like meet that 100 across the board, but they do exist. And the app will also give you access to like, oh, we suggest using this if you're struggling with that. But little by little, you don't need to throw everything out that you have today. But the next time you go to buy makeup, the next time you go to buy a chapstick or a lip balm, or you need to buy a new coffee creamer, whatever it is, whether it's food or product, you can use that app and decide for yourself which product would better serve me in my life. And I really do think that there's something to the plastics that are in all of our products, the chemicals that are in all of our products. We didn't say like any stats and you can't quote me on the exact stat, but I'm pretty sure that this is the stat. About 50 years ago, they tested men's sperm count and now they're testing it again. And men's sperm count has depleted by 50%. That's crazy. What are we doing differently from 50 years ago that we're doing today that's causing so much hormonal disruption that men are not able to produce as much sperm count? That might not seem like a big deal. Some of you might be like, great, let them a chance to get pregnant. I'm not really sure. But ultimately, what did we say? Being your most fertile self is your healthiest self. So we have to watch out for these things because they are creating huge health hormonal shifts in our lives.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I second everything that you said in the sense of like, take your time with it. I started doing this, a couple years ago. And the way that I did it was very similar. Like when a product ran out, I bought a better version of it, right? And when another product ran out, I bought a better version of it. And what I found, honestly, was as I was doing that, the thing is I started actually needing less and less and less products because I started finding these like multi-purpose things. Branch Basics. Branch Basics cleans my entire house, does all my laundry, like hand soap, dish soap, the whole thing, right? All in one. And so it might seem expensive. Like when you look at the kit, you're like, oh my God. But when you realize how long it lasts and that it literally replaces so many products, it's amazing. Same thing with my tallow. Like, everybody knows I'm obsessed with that stuff. Like, no, I don't have an affiliate deal. I just love it. Because why? It's so great. Like, it's literally like I use it for everything. And then what I found was like in makeup, I stopped wearing makeup. Like, I didn't really need to wear makeup anymore. And occasionally I do. But it just became like through that process of elimination, what I realized was how much from a standpoint of like, and this is true for men too, but women, there's a disproportionate scale of marketing of these types of products because the whole, every part of that conversation. So like women, you know, it's like, you may have a makeup bag full of 1,000 things, but do you really want all of that? No. Do you really need all of that? Maybe not. Like, you're going to figure out what works for you and you're going to figure out what's important when you start to audit the things that you buy and start to audit the things that are in your house. And then, you know, I'm a big fan of voting with your dollar. So if you want to see the change and you want more products like that to be available, spend your money on it. You know, like you'll be happier and you'll be happier that you did. You'll be feel healthier. In the long run, you'll be spending less on every other thing. And ladies, if you want recommendations, message either of us. We'll like happily share.
Not you.
Yeah. And or men too, honestly, because most of the products that I use are not actually specific to women.
Right. And I mean, I live with my boyfriend. And so now he, by not his own choice, is using non-toxic everything. And I mean, he's so chill. He doesn't notice the difference. You know, like, it's not like, oh, this soap doesn't work as good or anything like that. He's loving it. And ultimately, I'm helping him and his hormones as well.
Yeah, exactly. That's like one of the key things I really think is just recognizing, like, again, men and women are different, but we do work together. We support each other. And I just, yes, our fertile self is our most healthy self, our healthiest self, however we said it. And yeah, it's like,
don't feel awkward about that. That doesn't mean that you're like advertising yourself like, gentlemen, I'm fertile. Come get it. You know, like,
you don't have to advertise it. They know.
They know. Be attracted to you. It's not this like, come and get it. I'm ready to be pregnant type of thing.
Yeah. Oh my God. Okay. One other thing. Just quick. Let's talk about body fat on women and how that correlates to fertility. I can't believe we skipped that in the fitness phase.
We did. And I'm so glad you brought it back to this because that's actually something that I wanted to get out when we were talking about the fitness, especially when you're talking about your CrossFit days. So when women have too low of body fat, what happens? As Kimberly said earlier, she lost her period for 3 months, right? She was working out too much. She was stressing out her system. That it happens so often. And actually, I've heard women pride themselves on, oh, I don't even have a period. Like, oh, I'm so blissful because I don't even, you know, have to worry about that. Well, that's not great. And honestly, when you're thinking about fertility, your body, like, let's bring it back to like, think about like hunter-gatherer days, right? If there was someone who is emaciated and way too thin and, you know, abs are popping out, they're really, really, you know, just slim, your body does not feel like a safe home to grow a child in that is going to make it. So your body is not going to allow you to get pregnant. That's what's happening when you are keeping your body at too low of a body fat percentage. And this happens a lot amongst athletes, right? We see like these Olympic gymnasts, skaters, whatever, every Olympic athlete, I'm sure a lot of those women struggle with their period and having that, you know, normal fertility. This is always something you can improve, always something you can reverse, always something you can change. Most of the time, I shouldn't say always, but you don't actually want to be super low body fat. And that's so hard to wrap our heads around because we all want to look like, I mean, I shouldn't say we all do, but, you know, looking
collective
like the Victorian
story,
model. Yeah, like that's the societal story like that. We want to just be slim all the time. Well, first of all, we need to give our bodies grace because my body fluctuates on about a 10-pound difference at any point in the month. So sometimes I'm 170 pounds, sometimes I'm 160. That fluctuates all of the time. So really stepping on the scale every day is doing yourselves no favors at all. I really don't recommend doing that. And also stop freaking out if you have a little bit of pudge on your belly. That is good for your body. You need that storage.
Yeah, exactly. I'll share something that was like one of the most beautiful things that I've heard recently, which was a conversation between one of my girlfriends and a man. And I was there too. And she was saying something about, you know, she's gained a little bit of weight. She's not loving how her body looks. And it's just like kind of like sharing and vocalizing that. And his response was, "You look like a fertile woman." And I was like, oh my God, fall over and die. If any, like, this is just the most amazing thing I've ever heard a man say. And I was like, that's it. Like, oh my God, women, if we really could like understand that men look at that and that they find it attractive and that like biologically they're wired to find that attractive, so much of that story would shift. And that moment is going to be freeze framed in my mind for the rest of my life because I was like, oh my God, that's so, yes. Thank God you exist, sir. Yeah. Like, it's just so beautiful.
They're looking at our hips being like, they better be big enough to bear my child.
Okay. Exactly. So it's like, yeah, there's just so much to this conversation where I really, really, really like, I will stop it here because otherwise I could just continue this conversation forever. But
all day. We could be on this all day.
Yeah, literally. And as I already said, this is the only thing I'm doing, so it would be dangerous. So yeah, the main things I really hope if you've made it this far in the conversation, both women and men, I hope that you gained a different insight or a different shift in the story around what is happening in the menstrual cycle and how you can use it to optimize your life and how you can have more compassion for yourself and more ownership over your body and really just like think about your fitness routines a little different. Think about your food a little different. Think about just be more considerate of how this can help you be healthier and enjoy yourself more, enjoy your body more. And yeah, I mean, there's still so many more topics on the conversation around this. We really didn't touch on sex drive. We didn't really touch on the difference. We didn't touch on anything beyond, well, we did a little bit about once you go into perimenopause and menopause, that's a whole other stage, a whole different conversation. But I really, really, really hope that this was exciting and fun and playful and like helped you unwind a little bit of the stories, you know? And if you have questions for Stefania, where do they find you, girl?
You can find me on Instagram. My name is Stefania.Renee. So it's STEPHANIA.RENE. Very easily accessible there. I'm still ramping up trying to make my posts every day. So hopefully you'll find my page as a source of information for you moving forward. And yeah, we have so many more topics to touch on and we're definitely going to have to do a part two through infinity.
Yeah.
Because are so many more things to chat about, but hopefully what you took out today, you learned that you have a cycle, you learned a little bit how to tweak your scheduling and routines, and any specific questions or deep dive questions, please reach out to either of us. And I'm definitely here for you as well.
Yeah, I love it. Thank you so much. This is like one of the things that I talk about all the time with my girlfriends, talk about it with anybody who will listen. And this is maybe it's the second time that I've talked about it on the podcast, but this is the deep dive of it. And I just thank you so much for being my buddy on the path and being as passionate about it as me to bring this great energy to the listeners.
Absolutely. And I think what we find about the magic and the fact that we both are so passionate about this is that if we can be this passionate about it when we didn't know about what cycle syncing was 3 years ago, oh my gosh, we could change the world if every woman knew the secret powers that they hold within.
Oh my God. Yes, totally agree. All right, guys, catch you next time. Hey, coach, ready to get your clients out of their own way and over their shitty mindset? Start by learning the words and make mindset coaching practical. Master the Enlifted Method and guide your clients to lasting results by changing their words. To enroll in the next class of Enlifted Level 1 certification, head on over to enlifted.me and click Get Certified. Let us know you're loving the show. Subscribe, leave a 5-star review, and be sure to share it with your friends. Abracadabra.